Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid, with Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Danny Ross and Diana Day in...
Too Many Decorators.
And keep quiet.
It's all right for you. You don't mind being robbed.
What are you talking about? I haven't been robbed of anything.
Oh, yes, you have. Brains, eyebrows. You're always being robbed. Even Alfie told me about that chap at work, the one who's always trying to pinch you.
Never mind. Behave yourself and stop acting like a big baby. You'll have everybody in the bus staring at us.
Well, you stare back and frighten them.
Look, just because you're angry, there's no need to be cheeky.
Well, I've been robbed, swindled. I've been a victim of a confidence trick.
Oh, listen to him. I've been a victim of a confidence trick.
Oh, did they catch you as well?
All right, funny boy, let's hear it. Where's all your money gone?
Well, there was a man selling toys on the open market near our school at dinner time, and he had some fire engines in boxes, and I paid him £5 for one, and when I opened the box in school, instead of a fire engine, all I found was a toy pram with no wheels.
A toy pram? Oh, you are a silly Billy.
Well, no wonder when I've got a sister with a face like a goat.
If you're going to be rude, you can sit by yourself.
All right, I'll sit on this seat behind you and comb your hair with my ballpoint pen.
You leave my hair alone.
All your fares, please. Fares, please. Can I have your fare, Sonny?
You what?
Your fare, Sonny. Your fare.
Yes, I am pretty, aren't I?
Jimmy.
Look, son, shall I punch you a ticket or shall I just punch you?
Sorry, mister. I want a cheap day workman, second-class single to Lilac Avenue.
I know what you want. Let's have the money.
Oh, the money. Oh, of course, yes. Oh, heck, the money. She'll pay in front there, my sister.
Oh, I give up. Here, can I have this lad's fare, miss? He doesn't seem to have any money.
He hasn't. He spent it all on a toy pram.
A pram? Hey, ain't a little girl in lad's clothing, is he?
If I could reach high enough, I wouldn't half ring his bell for him.
Are you going to pay his fare then, miss?
Oh, yes, if he asks me nicely enough.
What? I'll stick you in the used ticket box with all the other rubbish.
Now, come on, ask me nicely to pay your fare before you get thrown off.
Don't it make you sick? Susan, dear, would you kindly pay my bus fare for me, please?
Yes, I will, brother dear. I'll get it with mine.
Good. That's a single to Lilac Avenue for me, mister, and a single to the dog zone for her.
Mrs. Clitheroe, I'm sure this latest good neighbour scheme of mine is going to be an absolute winner. Don't you agree?
Yes, Humphrey.
What were the other things you wanted for your trip, Pat?
Well, I put a clean handkerchief down somewhere. Where is it?
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Oh, I'm never going to catch that train. Where's that clean handkerchief?
Oh, it's here, Mrs. Clitheroe. I'm afraid I was sitting on it.
Oh, thank you, Humphrey. I'll just pop it into my handbag. My handbag. Oh, where on earth has that got to?
No, don't panic, Pat. I'll find it. It's here, under Humphrey's Macintosh.
Oh, I do beg your pardon. It slipped off when I came in. But it's quite warm in here. Cold outside, but warm in here.
Thank you, Bert Ford, the weatherman.
Father, save your funny remarks till I caught the train to Glasgow. Although why I'm traipsing all the way up there, I just don't know.
Well, it isn't every day your young cousin Mary has twin baby girls. At least I hope not. Hey, Mrs. Sinclair.
Very funny. Oh, well, never mind, Pat. She'll only need you a few days till she gets settled at home again.
Yeah, well, I hope so. Now, I must finish packing this suitcase. Oh, where's my silk blouse?
Is this it, Mrs. Clitheroe?
That's my nightie, Humphrey. there it is. I'll just pop upstairs for my coat before Jimmy gets home.
Oh, very well. It's quite a job getting a woman off on a journey, isn't it?
It is when another old woman keeps hiding her things.
Hello, Grandad. Hello, Mr. Brocklebank.
Hello, my dear.
Well, that's
your mother off to Glasgow.
I know. She phoned the office and told me.
Oh, I hope James gets back home before she has to leave.
Oh, he's here. He's gone upstairs to hide his pram.
Pram? What pram?
He paid 5 shillings on the market for what he thought was a toy fire engine, and it turned out to be a pram with no wheels on.
Well, you couldn't put many fires out with a pram, not unless you squirted the baby's bottle.
Who's going to cook all the meals and wash all our underclothes?
Shh, Mr. Brocklebank's here.
Oh, that's why you're going to Glasgow.
Behave yourself and don't be silly.
Hello, James.
Goodbye, Humphrey.
Jimmy.
Mother, I must tell you about Jimmy's new toy.
I've seen it. I caught him hiding it in his drawer.
Ooh, listen to Sister Big Mouth. Why don't you go and shout it in the street? Oh, yes, oh, yes, Jimmy Clitheroe's got a toy pram.
Well, that'll do, Jimmy. So, you've been wasting your money again, have you?
But, Grandad, it was for a fire engine.
Oh, I know you were tricked. But there's always somebody trying to do you out of your hard-earned cash, if you're stupid enough to let him. It's happened to me more than once.
Yes, James, a fool and his money are soon parted.
What was that, Papa? Like?
I said no such thing. Go on, Mr. Sinclair.
Well, always make sure of what you're getting for your money, my boy. Quality always counts. No one can make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. So you might end up buying a pig in a poke. Do you understand me?
Well, I would if I was Dan Archer.
Talking about money reminds me, Father. I'm having the front room, the lounge, decorated on Wednesday. Now, here's £20 to pay for it.
Oh, right you are, Pat. I didn't know you'd finally decided to have it done. Are you having Benson's from the arcade?
Yes, he knows what I want.
It seems a lot of money, though. I only paid 12 guineas the last time that room was done.
Yes, but that was when Bonnie Prince Charlie slept here.
It's the limit. I'm furious about this. You can't trust anybody these days.
Oh, well, that's life, Pete. Some people change the colours more often than them lizard things, you know. What they call, comedians.
Well, it's the last time I'll lend Paddy Ryan any money. The next time he owes for his digs, his landlady can sling him out with pleasure.
My sentiments, exactly. Although, to be fair to Paddy, when you lent him that 10 quid and the boozer, he didn't know he was going to get the boot on the building site. I mean, let's not accuse him of borrowing money under false pretensions.
Look, all I know is he said he'd pay back the money within 24 hours out of his last week's wages.
Oh, well, he would have done if his foreman hadn't found out about his little Mr. Menial.
Yeah, he must have been mad, trying to claim sick pay for a week when all the time he'd been at here at Fat Races.
Oh, mind, sir, he was sick. Sick of bookies. But you heard what he said. I mean, he'll send you that 10 quid as soon as he's humping his pot again, back in his native Cali belly.
Oh, that'll be too late.
That was some of Pat's money for the decorating, and she's expecting the job to be done by the time she's back from Glasgow.
Well, I'd lend it to you myself, but I've had to buy myself a new suit. I kept getting drafts in funny places.
Oh, come on then, Harry. Perhaps we can solve my problem over a pint at the Rose and Crown.
Oh, well, after you, Pete.
Any news from Pat yet?
No, she said she'd phone about midweek. Maybe tomorrow.
Hey, up!
Oh, Grandad! You stood on me foot!
Jimmy, were you listening behind this door?
No, I dropped a sixpence and I was bent down trying to find it.
Well, if you lost it, don't try tapping me for a replacement.
Well, it wouldn't do any good now the pigs escaped from the poke. you can't help being a fool.
What?
Who's imported from his money?
Careful, Jim. Any minute now, you'll be feeling the weight of your granddad's boot on your posterity.
Grandad, I've just thought of an answer to your problem.
What are you talking about?
Well, if my man won't be back for 3 days, you don't need to pay the decorators for doing the room. Just do it yourself.
What?
You've still got £10. That should be enough to buy paper. All you have to do is to make your own paste with flour. But don't use self-raising flour. you finish up with very lumpy walls.
That's a great idea, Pete. And if you want any help, I'll be pleased to come to your assistance.
Well, I suppose it's an idea.
Look, you get the wallpaper tomorrow and we'll start after tea. We'll be all right. I've always fancied myself as an inferior decorator.
Yes, and you'll need a very good labourer. And I just happen to know the very bloke.
Oh, do you?
Yep, he's keen, he's clever, doesn't mind getting dirty, and five bob an hour is all I want.
Alfie, as the French say, Fermi's Vogue's cake hole. I'll tell you, the paper matches up like this.
Yeah, but are you sure? I mean, you see, on that edge, it's a big piece of petal, and on this other edge, it's a little piece of petal. So if you join a big piece of petal to a little piece of petal, what have you got?
Lopsided flowers.
Hurry up with the next length of paper. I've been standing up this ladder so long, I feel like a mountain goat.
Well, you've done enough bleating.
Hang on, Pete. We're just having a lecture on petals from Percy Throwback here.
Well, I'm sure I'm right. I mean, you can't have petals that funny shape, can you, Jimmy?
Why not? I've seen oblong petals with square corners.
Yeah, though. What sort of petals are they?
Bicycle petals.
Ah, it's very funny, Jim. I like that.
What's all the laughing about?
Yeah, it's a joke, Mr. Sinclair. What are they that's oblong with square corners?
I don't know. What are they?
Bicycle wheels. That's not right.
Jim, pass me the brush while I give Alfie a pasting.
Better still, stick his head in the bucket and give him distemper.
Hey, now, look, when you finish being funny, I didn't come round here to work.
You came round here to snog.
Yeah, no. I came to sit in here with Susan out, the light, necking, holding Susan's neck. Out. Would anybody like a toffee?
Some more paste, Harry.
Oh, yes, sir, but I've got nothing to stare it with.
Use Alfie's tongue.
Oh, this is ridiculous. We've been at it an hour and all we've stuck on is this one bit. Are you three having a strike meeting or something?
Yeah, and it's official, so I'm going to make the tea, you see. Tea, you see? Right, it's a good one, isn't it?
Hey, Jimmy, either Crocker at the comedy or clear off.
Hey, Jim, don't go annoying Jock like that. Look at him. He's getting that mad. His ladder's wobbling.
Go and answer that phone, Jim.
Right, Grandad.
Now, if I'm not troubling you, perhaps we could cut another length before the hooter goes.
Hello. Clitheroe's son out here.
Oh, it's you, Jimmy.
Oh, ma'am. How's things up in Glasgow? Have you had any haggis butties yet?
Oh, very funny. Is everything all right there?
Oh, yes, we're having a ball. They're all decorating like mad except me. I'm the foreman.
Decorating at this time in the evening? Well, you can tell Mr. Benson he'll only get paid what he quarters me. I'm not paying any overtime.
Mr. Benson? Oh, Mr. Benson. Oh, he's not here. And there's another man in charge.
Oh, well, I think I'd better speak to him.
Oh, I don't think you can, ma'am. It's very busy at the moment. Up a ladder.
Jimmy, Jimmy, what was that I just heard?
Oh, it's the archers on the wireless. I think Walter Gabriel's just kicked the bucket.
There is a word to describe this kind of decorating, James, but I'm not allowed to say it in front of you.
Okay, though, Mr. Bristlebones, it's very good. Could you go on? Now, be honest now, what do you think?
I think it's garish, flamboyant and totally offensive to good taste.
You see, I knew you'd like it.
He's annoyed, Alfie, because we wouldn't let him help.
No nonsense, I couldn't care less.
And because Mr. Whittle told him to keep quiet about the money or he'd give him a mouthful of hobnail boot.
Don't be ridiculous, James. It's no affair of mine how your mother is being deceived. I shall not enlighten her.
What did he say, Jimmy?
You're going to keep his trap shut.
Yes, I am. I certainly am, and I'm going to. I'll call round later when Mrs. Clitheroe's back from Glasgow.
Well, cheerio, Mr. Bricklebunk.
Goodbye. James, I let myself out.
Ta-ra, Mr. Bricklebunk. Thanks for calling.
You know, he's no fool, that Mr. Bricklethump. Bricklethump, he isn't, no.
Give over, he's a bigger twit than you are.
You are?
Well, tell him the old sob stuff and he's a dead mug. The other night, I told him such a sad story, there were tears running down his great big gunk.
What did you tell him?
About the time when our Susan was very unhappy.
Susan? Unhappy?
Yeah. Oh, it was very sad. Every night she used to lie in bed, sobbing her heart out. My man was always changing her pillowcase.
Oh, poor Susan.
She wouldn't eat. She was just wasting away.
Oh, Jimmy, don't.
Yeah, she was down to a mere 15 stone. And all because she was longing for some wonderful man to come along and make her life worth living.
Oh, poor Susan. When was she like this?
Ever since she met you.
Oh, what a tragedy. I see you cheeky thing. I'll thump you for that. Come here.
I was only kidding, Alfie.
Ah, well, I'm dead serious. Come here.
You come in here and I'll throw this cushion at you.
I said come here, will you?
Keep away. Help. Right, you've asked for it. You coward! You ducked! Scared of a blooming soft! Where did the cushion go?
In all that bottle of ink over on the mantelpiece.
Where? Oh, heck! All over me granddad's new wallpaper. Oh, don't just stand there. Lick it off.
Can't talk soft. It'd make me tongue all blue.
Say you've been eating bilberry pie.
Yes, and you'll soon be eating rice pudding. You always get that in hospital.
It's not my fault. You caused the accident.
Oh, no, I didn't. You threw the cushion.
And you ducked. Oh, we're in dead trouble now. Did we use all the wallpaper up?
All except this tiny little piece. Why?
Well, if we had enough to cover that stain up... Yes, that's it. Alfie, bring that piece of wallpaper and go and get your motorbike started up. We'll get some more paper to cover it up.
Oh, there's no need. I've got a tarpaulin sheet for bad weather. Go. Oh. Not cover the bike, cover the stain.
No, cover your mouth. Stop talking daft and come on.
All right. But let's be on our way so we can be back before Susan comes home from... Hey, where are we going?
Oh, it's worse than talking to Charlie Thompson's little brother. Jimmy, take Alfie to shop where Grandad got paper. Show nice man little piece and get some more.
All right. Well, why have I got to go with you for this paper?
Jimmy need a mug to pay for it.
Look, Sonny, calm down. We've got all sorts of paper here. Every design and colour you can think of. Rolls and rolls and rolls of it. Now, how much do you want?
About 1 square foot.
Right, I'll get the samples. 1 square foot?
Yes.
And it's urgent. It's a matter of life or large lumps on me sit-upon.
Look, you've made no sense since you come in this place. Will you please explain, sir?
Well, it's simple, you see. We only have one little piece left and his granddad's out fishing all day, so we're going to see Mr. Bucklebank, but he doesn't know yet, because if he did, he might not tell we had around it. It's quite a big stain. Are you waiting to show?
Sorry, Sonny, I did you an injustice. You tell me.
We want some wallpaper, quick.
Just like the little piece we had for the sample.
Well, I'll see what I can do for you. Where's this piece of wallpaper?
Oh, I can tell you that. I was only knitting my hand while I steered my motorbike and I saw a pal of mine in the street, so I lifted up one hand to wave to him and it was one holding the piece of wallpaper. It blew away.
Well, if you haven't got a sample, how can I let you have the right wallpaper?
Easy, I'll describe it to you. You see, it had big petals and little petals, and they weren't oblong ones because that was a joke, but they were blue and Mr. Whittle couldn't join him at first.
Belltop!
You are.
I mean, just look at those floral samples over there, sir. See if you can spot the one you want.
All right. Oh, I just remembered it was the ink that was blue. The flowers were mauve.
I say, is your friend completely balmy?
He must be. He's courting my sister.
Well, I don't know what I can do about this wallpaper. Did you buy it here?
Yes, well, me granddad did before he papered the room on Wednesday. Not bought it on Wednesday, did the papering. He bought it on... Oh, heck, I sound as daft as Alfie.
Look, your granddad, tell me about him. Do I know him?
Well, not unless you have your own slate at the Rose and Crown. He's a Scotsman and... Oh, yes, he called you a mean old skinflint because you wouldn't knock anything off for cash.
Oh, yes, I remember him. A Scottish gent in a kilt. Yes, I remember that paper he bought.
Oh, good.
Because it was the last of that pattern available.
Oh, heck. You mean you haven't got any left?
No, and no chance of getting any. But look, after listening to something your friend there said, I've got a suggestion to make.
You're too late. We've already tried. But the doctor says there's nothing he can do.
No, it was when he mentioned the ink. Do I take it you want a piece to cover an ink stain on one wall?
Yes, where the mantelpiece is.
Well, there's a very simple answer to your problem. Why don't you go contemporary?
Oh, we'll go right away. Do you think they'll be open?
No. Have one wall of the room different from the rest. It's all the rage, very popular.
Oh, yes. I think Mr. Brocklebank has that in his front room. Oh, thanks a lot, mister. You've saved me life.
Jimmy, I found it. That wallpaper, I found it.
Mister, you just told me a lie. You said you had none.
No, I mean that bit we brought with us. It didn't blow away. After all, I just found it down my windcheater. Hey, look, mister, have you ever seen anything like it before?
Never, and I've served some nutcases in my time. We have none of that paper.
What shall we do about the stain on the wall?
The man's just told me the answer, bird brain. Come along, Alfred. We are going to go contemptuous.
Well, I must say that now it's finished, this room looks proper Swiss with that one wall different.
You're right, Alfie. Mr. Brocklebank, you've done a great job. You can take your penny off now.
Oh, thank you, James. But I only did it because you had that unfortunate accident you told me about when you were filling your fountain pen to do your homework.
Yeah, what? It's out money through the cushion, my leg.
What's the matter, Alfred?
Oh, it's all right, Mr. Brocklebank. It's his leg. Yeah. He gets cramp in it. It happens with his head as well.
James, I don't know what you've been up to, but you still have this redecorating to explain.
Look, according to my mum's letter, she'll be back from Glasgow before my granddad's back from his fishing. That's all I want.
Well, I wish you good luck, James, but I hope you're not going to tell your mother any deliberate lies.
Of course not. I'll get Alfie to tell her them.
Yeah. Anyone in?
Oh, heck, my mum. Hey, stop here, you two, while I go and fix her. Talk to her.
Okay, don't worry. I'm not going to put me head in your mum's mouth. Give her a light, honey.
Hello, son. I'm back home again.
Mum, is it really you?
For a minute, I thought it was that rascal Welsh.
You are?
You look so young. How did you get in?
With my front door key, of course.
Mum, you're not supposed to have your own door key until you're 21.
Look, I don't know what all the compliments are about, but I really am glad to be back.
Yes, I was saying to Mr. Brocklebank about you being so modern, not old-fashioned. You're with it.
I'm not, you know, I'm baffled.
Yeah, I said to him, Mum likes to be up to date, our mum does. It wouldn't surprise me if my mum was dead keen on different wallpaper on one wall. You know, contemptible.
Yes, I am. That's why I ordered it before I went away.
Yes, I said you won't catch my man wearing red flannel. You ordered it?
Yes, with Mr. Benson. I hope he's done what I told him.
You mean different walls?
Here, let me see what sort of job he's made of it. Oh, hello, Humphrey, Alfie.
Hello, Mrs. Clitheroe.
Yeah, goodbye, Mrs. Clitheroe. Oh. I thought I'd go before the fight starts. Yeah, I'm on the telly from the Albatross. Amateur paper hanging. Boxing. The army versus Jimmy, the German.
Alfie, why don't you slow your tongue down so your brain can catch up with it?
That was Jimmy. Now, let me look at this room. Oh, it's beautiful.
What did I tell you, Mr. Brocklebank?
I don't know how you do it, James.
Well, it's not the paper I picked, but it's much nicer. Oh, I am pleased. What does your granddad think of it, Jim?
Oh, he hasn't really said, has he, Mr. Brocklebank?
Hasn't said what, James?
Never mind. It'll be all right as long as somebody tells him what to say before he says it.
Oh, there's Father coming up the garden path.
I'll just go and tell him that you're home, ma'am.
Right, love. Isn't it nice, Humphrey?
Ah, there you are, Jimmy. Your mother back then?
Yes, Grandad. But before you say hello to her, I want to tell you about the good deed I've done.
What good deed?
Well, since you went out this morning, I found out that me mum likes that temporary decorating.
What? You mean using different wallpaper on the one wall?
Yeah, that's what she wanted in the front room.
Oh, dear, I bet she's very disappointed.
No, she's very pleased. And she'll kiss you when she finds out how much you've saved out of her £20.
But I don't understand. You say she wanted the front room done contemporary.
Yeah, that's what she's got. I borrowed £3 of Alfie and got one wall redone with a different paper.
Oh, I see. And you say she's very pleased about it.
Oh, she loves you. You'll be on free beer for a week. But first of all, we'd better get the book straight. Now, you got that £10 back from Paddy Ryan this morning.
That's right. So if I pay Alfie £3 out of the £10, that leaves a profit for your mother of...
£6.15.
Wait a minute. What about the other £5?
Ah, that's what it costs for having a brainy grandson.
Ah, well, I suppose it's fair enough, seeing it's pleased your mother. Well, here you are, Stan, £5.
Oh, thanks, Grandad. You're a pal.
What's that you've just given Jimmy, Father?
Oh, hello, Pat. Ah, just a wee reward of £5 for being such a good boy.
Good. Now Jimmy can buy a bottle of ink to replace the one he knocked over, can't you, love?
Yes, ma'am. Oh, heck. Somebody squealed. Who was it?
You tell him, Mr. Brocklebank, I didn't.
I'm afraid Alfred accidentally let out your secret, James, about the quarrel and the ink stains.
Jimmy, what does this mean?
After you finish with me, Grandad, I'll probably be going out to buy half a dozen bottles, smelling salts, iodine, Nerf tonic, backache pills, liniment...
Involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair as grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, Diana Day as Susan, Brian Truman as Mr. Whittle and the bus conductor, Colin Edwin as Humphrey Brocklebank, and Brian Mosley as the shop assistant. The recorded program was written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, produced by James Casey, and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the kid himself.
What happened? Me granddad made me give him the money back. All £5 of it. And all because Alfie all blabbed. Anyway, Alfie said he was sorry and offered to make it up to me by giving me £2 to clean his motorbike every time it got dirty. And now he's complaining just because I cleaned it 3 times during a thunderstorm. Ta-ra! Thank you.